morning. It is great to see you guys this morning. A couple of quick things. Continue to pray for Harland as he is at the Good Sam / Allure care facility, and he's doing a little bit better each day. Pray for his bride that she gets stable on her feet and stays that way, because she's kind of meandering around a little bit. Hi, Danetta. But also, some good news for John. He Granny said this morning, the interesting thing was he watched wrestling the other night. Now, not WWE, he would call it real wrestling from Iowa. And he was watching, and he got a little bit excited. He got a little bit overzealous, and he actually started to get some things on his left side to start moving a little bit better. So, the cool thing is, needs to watch more wrestling. So that's good. Maybe we can get a wrestling rehab. Now, there you go. New care program here in Mount Carroll. So it'll be great. So continue to pray for them as well. And pray for everybody who's, there's been a lot of loss lately. And Katzenbergers have lost 3 relatives in just a short time. Calhoun's lost a brother. And so it's been a crazy, crazy month or so. And all of us have a lot we've got going on. So let's just pray together real quick before we head into the sermon. Father God, I just thank you so much that we are hearing some good news, that Harlan's doing better, and even after a slip and a fall, that Danetta's doing okay today. We just pray that you'd watch over her and keep her stable on her feet. And I just pray that you would give her strength each day to continue to carry on and march on and help Harlan through what he's going through, and be with their family as they work with them on all the things they're facing. Thank you that John is doing a little bit better, and I just pray that you'll continue to allow him to maybe watch wrestling reruns and get his left side moving a little bit more each day. We just pray that you'd heal him up and make him well. Thank you for those who were able to go and help get their home ready for John to come in and come back home shortly. We pray for a safe transition in that area. And Lord, for those who have lost loved ones, those are things that are outside the norm of everyday routine. And I just pray that you'd come alongside them and comfort them right now. Give them strength. I pray that you would comfort their hurting hearts and minds. And I pray that you'd bless them incredibly. And just walk with them as you promised you would. Life and strokes and falls and death and bodies wearing out and giving up are part of everyday life. And I wish you had said, if we would follow you, those things would never happen to us again. But that's not what you said. You said, in this life you will have troubles, you will have struggles. But behold, I've overcome the world. And I am with you always and will walk with you through those times. I'll give you the strength you need to get through the difficulties in your life. So, Lord, we thank you for your promises that are true and hold true for us. Because as life happens, we can choose you to happen alongside of us. Lord, we love you and we thank you, and it's in your name we pray. Amen. I was worried I was going to have to skip the first part of my sermon altogether because Chris was on a roll with Punks of Tony Phil. Today is Groundhog Day. Today is, I know that some of you think, no, it's not, it's Super Bowl Sunday. But today's Groundhog Day as well. It comes around February 2nd every year, and Punks of Tony Phil, he came out and made his great appearance. He is that groundhog, that overgrown rodent that lets us know what's in store for us, that God has planned for us weather-wise. And people put their faith and trust in a rat. He is the great predictor of our fate for the next 6 weeks. And as long as they don't drop old Phil on his head, things are going to turn out okay, right? I like what Chris said. She didn't ruin it this morning. She said, guess what? Spring is coming. Whether it be in 6 easy weeks or 6 hard weeks, spring's coming, and it's going to take place. Now we're going to see if the farmer's almanac and the rat agree. And this morning, the rat told us it's going to be a nice, beautiful transition into spring with no problems. Farmer's almanac was kind of a little iffy last fall about that, but I guess they can change their mind. But you know what's interesting is here we are on Groundhog's Day, and the only thing that would make Groundhog Day any better than happen to be on Super Bowl Sunday is if the fireman's breakfast was today as well. That'd bring a whole new meaning to groundhog, because they serve awesome groundhog sausage. It's Groundhog Day to me when it's fireman's breakfast. But last night we're at the basketball game. We're hanging out in the stands, and there's this little girl. Her name's Hannah, and Hannah is an old soul in a miniature body. She's not normal for kids her age. She reads all the time. She spends more time in a book than she does on her social media device. And she came up next to me, and she plopped down, and she goes, "Vince, I want you to know you're my absolute best friend." And I'm like going, "Nah, I'm too old to be your best friend. Find someone your old, own age." And she goes, "I'm an old soul in a young body." And we started talking. She starts asking me, "So which 80s bands did you like?" And I'm like going, "Are we talking long hair or short hair bands?" She goes, "Doesn't matter. I love them all." And I said, "Rolling Stones or Aerosmith?" She went Rolling Stones. I told her it was wrong. She was wrong. I said, "Always buy American." And so it was kind of cool. We were going along and things were good. We're talking and we started talking about movies. She goes, "What movies did you like?" I don't remember much of the 80s, but what's interesting is we sat there and I Googled it. Best movies of the 1980s. And I was flipping through and one of the movies from the 80s and the early 90s was the movie Groundhog Day. How many of you have seen Groundhog Day? It's a great movie. It's kind of funny. You got Bill Murray, the weatherman, who sent to go watch and see what Punxsutawney Phil was going to tell him that he didn't know about for the weather that was coming up. And the bad thing is, when he got to this little town and he got there to do his report and his live broadcast of what Phil had to say, what was interesting is the next morning he woke up at the same time, to the same song, to the same exact day played over and over and over again. It was like he was stuck in a time loop, and he stepped into the same puddle, he ran into the same things, he began to see that this day was never going to end, kind of like Groundhog Day coming back over and over and over again. He began to know every move that everybody was going to make. He began to see people and he began to memorize their conversations. And he would sit there and one point in time he finally snaps and he begins to think he's crazy, or maybe that he's even God, that he's sitting there and he's going, he's trying to talk to this woman that he's falling in love with on this one day over and over and over and over again. And he says, "This is what's going to happen next." And he writes down, "This is what this person is going to say in 10 seconds when they come through the door. Please don't think I'm crazy, but something's going on here." And he slides the paper over, and as she opens it up and she begins to read it, the guy walks through the door and says the very words she started to read. Stuck in the same day over and over and over again. The same routine, same places, same thing for lunch, whole nine yards over and over and over again. Last week, Thomas mentioned something. The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over again, expecting a different result. And you know, I found that the older we get, the more routine our lives become, and the more that becomes our reality. We get up, we go to work, we punch the clock. At the end of the week, we collect a check, all to pay for the stuff that we've already bought. 25 years pass by, and we look back, and we have nothing to show for it. And looking 25 years ahead, and chances are, it doesn't look much better than it does today. Groundhog Day, over and over and over. You know, most people really do struggle through their days. You're not alone. You know, this morning it was interesting, asking people, how you doing? Oh, I'm here. Oh, I'm alive. I'm doing. And it's really, we're just doing the same old thing. The change-up for the week happens to be the weekend, which everybody looks forward to, and Sunday mornings is kind of like way outside the park of our routine for the rest of the week. But most of the time, we struggle through, because guess what tomorrow is? Groundhog Monday. And some of you just went, your shoulders literally, visibly, we wake up in the mornings, and instead of saying, good morning, Lord, we say, good Lord, it's morning. You guys have heard that 1,000 times. We pull the covers back over our heads, and you can tell how bad your life is by the number of times you hit the snooze button. Now, this morning was a two-button push, and then I shut it off, and I went and I got Rachel at her cheerleading deal and brought her home, and I didn't get back as quick as I thought, so I wasn't brave enough to go in and see if Deanne was awake yet. So I sat in the driveway honking the horn, going beep, beep, beep for her like to get up. Maybe she would think it was the alarm because I didn't know if she was going to be up or not. And I wasn't going in because I was worried that I would have left her behind. Most of us get up not expecting good things to happen in our day, let alone great things. Most of the time we spend thinking about what kind of bad things can happen, and our fears run away with us. We live our lives searching for the other shoe that's about to drop. And sometimes it does, but most times it doesn't. We try to get through our days so we can retreat to our homes and walk in and sit down and say, another one done. I need to get ready for tomorrow. We come back to the safety of our home, but life has seemed to pile up around us, and anger begins to grow and well up inside of us, and we begin to take the stress of our Groundhog Day life out on the people around us, and it doesn't take long before we become toxic and horrible people to those that are supposed to be closest to us and safest among us. And then when bedtime comes, we have one of four things that happen. We lay there alone in the dark, replaying all of the Groundhog Day failures of our past. Maybe all of the failures of our present, knowing that the very same things will routinely be repeated tomorrow. And we wonder if we're ever going to get off the wheel or not. That's one option. Some of us have, number two, learned to work ourselves to exhaustion so we pass out quicker. Because if you can work yourself to exhaustion, sooner than later you will pass out. Some people have begun to medicate your way to sleep to avoid the futility that you face with another Groundhog Day coming. Whether it be melatonin or Miller Lite. I've talked to some of y'all. Whatever it is, there are times when we choose to OD on Benadryl so that we can fall asleep easier. And then sometimes none of that helps and sleep eludes you and despair begins to ravage every facet of your Groundhog Day. And the sun comes up and you get going, stuck on the groundhog hamster wheel of life. But what if I told you that there was something you could do to get off that hamster wheel? What if I told you that God has seen this and seen it play out so many times that he intentionally stepped into the middle of things and said, this does not have to be this way. You see, there was a guy named Jeremiah, and he wrote way back a long, 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 long time ago in Lamentations chapter 3 these words, and they're not going to be on the screen. I'm going to read real quick. It says, I am a man who has seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. He has driven me away and made me walk in darkness rather than light. Indeed, he has turned his hand against me again and again all day long. Now, this is Jeremiah the prophet speaking about how he feels about his relationship with God at this point. He has made my skin and my flesh grow old and has broken my bones. He has besieged me and surrounded me with bitterness and hardship. He has made me dwell in darkness like those long dead. He has walled me in so I can't escape. He has weighed me down with chains. I think he wrote this about 3 o'clock in the morning. You know, even while I call out and cry out for help, he shuts out my prayer. He has barred my way with blocks of stone. He has made my paths crooked. Like a bear lying in wait, like a lion in hiding, he dragged me from the path and mangled me and left me without help. He drew his bow and made me a target for his arrows. He pierced my heart with arrows from his quiver. I became a laughingstock of all my people. They mock me in song all day long. He has filled me with bitter herbs and sated me with gall. He has broken my teeth with gravel. He has trampled me into the dust. I have been deprived of peace. I have forgotten what prosperity is. So I say, my splendor is gone and all that I had hoped for from the Lord. I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. You know, this guy sounds like he knows what it's like to have been a Christian for 35 plus years. When you jumped in because you heard Jesus was awesome and everything's great, and if you just trust and follow Jesus, your life's going to be great, and signed up and said, I'm taking that trip. And found out after 35 years, there are a lot of broke down moments in 35 years. Some of you have been on this trip for 60 and 70 years. Some of you may be longer than that. You might have heard from John the Baptist himself that Jesus is coming. But Jeremiah, man, he understands how we feel. He had been there. He had done that. He knew what it meant to be brokenhearted and hopeless. And God knows how we feel. I want to let you in on a God-given fact about the Christian life. I had originally wrote, you don't have to live this way any longer. But guess what? As long as you're living, you're going to have troubles. But you don't have to live compressed and beat down and destroyed by the groundhog syndrome in your life. There's things you can do to help God change that. You don't have to go through your days expecting and accepting the worst that comes your way. You don't have to wait for the shoe to drop. You can actually sleep pretty good at night. And you can know the life to the full that he says he wants to give to you. And you can expect more from life than the same old, everyday groundhog routine. Because God wants to make your day new and give you a fresh start every day. Because when we surrender our whole life to him, that happens. Because it continues in Lamentations chapter 3, verses 21 through 26, and this one will be on the screen. Yet, this is Jeremiah talking, yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassion never fails. They are new every morning, and great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, and therefore I'll wait for him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him. To the one who seeks him, it is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Let's pray real quick. Father God, for all too long we've been this little dinghy boat being battered by the waves and the storms. Woo! That was thunder. And obviously, things don't go go the way we always plan. And some of us have been stuck in ruts and routines for so long that the only way to get out of it is to upend our world. So, Lord, if you need to upend our world, we will trust you. For you are compassionate and kind and loving and right there with us. You'll pick up the pieces. You will give us the life to the full that you have promised. And in the meantime, as we struggle through this life that we live, you will walk faithfully with us and help us each and every day. And may we start each day anew with you. In your name, amen. You see, there is a way to bring an end to your Groundhog Day lifestyle. And the first and most important thing you need to do is remember who God is. God is the God of love. God is the God of compassion. He is the one who loved you so much. He provided salvation for you. He is the one who has saved you and remains faithful to you when you've become faithless in him. And he is the one who has made promises to you he will keep. Now, make sure you grab a hold of his promises and not the promises that people read into. Not the promises that leave God holding the bag when life throws you a curveball. Trust in God and what he has said, and what he has said is true, and your life will be good even when life is toughest. Because most of the time what we do is we confuse God with the gospel or God with what the preacher says. And you got to be like the Bereans, and you need to go back and you need to double fact check the preacher, the denomination, and the gospel that they're preaching to find out what it is. Are they really telling me what God says? You see, because guess what? Every person that ever stands on this platform is a human being, flawed, broken, and failures. And I tell you what, from personal experience, we probably have the most Groundhog Days of anybody on the planet. And not only that, we get the zesty, wonderful, spicy thing that comes along with it, is that if the devil and his entire minion clan can knock us off, it's easier to pick you off too. So, one of the things that's hardest is that we have to continually trust in who God is. Because one of the strange things is sometimes even we have the struggle of our circumstances overwhelming us, and we forget who he is. So we always have to remember who God is, because our circumstances don't change. Sometimes we just have to trust that God is going to continue to do what he said he would, which is he would see us through and he would save us in the end. Second thing, you need to remember who you are. Because who you are is a very, very important thing. You are a child of God. The beautiful thing is John 1:12 through 13 says this, "Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God." And you know what's amazing is this, is that here's the crazy thing. I grew up as a Wilczynski, which is kind of weird because I'm a Wilczynski and a Mashke. And not only am I a Wilczynski and a Mashke, see, we don't know much about my dad's side of the family. I'm a Wilczynski, a Mashke, a bird, and a few other mutts along the way that come into that whole spectrum of things. But what's interesting is this, is probably none of my family has any connection with you guys. And all God's people said, There you go. Here's your problem. When I became a child of God and God adopted me and grafted me into his family, I became your redheaded stepchild brother. Yeah, thank you. We're all family. We're all in this together. Whether you like it or not, you're my brother, you're my sister, and I'm yours. Praise God. Aren't you lucky? I want to tell you something really cool. There's a little boy named Kenny that comes to Awana. Some of you know where this is going. Kenny's fantastic. He don't say much. And over the past year and a half, 2 years, we've watched him kind of grow, and Deanne gets to see him at school and see his little face come in and watch him blossom and grow. And Kenny is one of my favorite kids on the planet. And I know Bryson Bunn's getting a little nervous over here that he's being replaced. But nonetheless, Kenny is, I love Kenny because Kenny's had it pretty tough and rough. Kenny ended up in foster care. Kenny's had a tough road. Kenny didn't speak much at first, but he started to blossom. And 2 weeks ago, I don't know if it's mom or grandma, came him up and said, "Hey, something cool's happening on Monday." And she told me what it was. And so Wednesday at Awana, this kid is right after John's heart. I said, "Kenny, what exciting thing happened this week? You got anything exciting that happened this week?" Yeah, and he grabs the microphone. "Everybody, Monday nights, you need to watch WWE Wrestling and The Voice with your mom." And he's going on about that. And I grabbed the microphone. "Kenny, no. What happened? It was exciting on Monday." And he goes, "Oh." I said, "Didn't you get adopted on Monday?" "Oh, yeah." Kenny's in a home where he's loved. He's cared for. Where people are just loving on his kid. And bigger than being adopted. And a whole name change and a whole life change is WWE on Monday nights. You gotta love that kid. Sometimes we're like Kenny in the fact that we've been adopted into the family of God, and there are bigger things and more important things than that in our lives. And people giggled when I said WWE, but when I said, "Weren't you adopted Monday?" And he went, "Oh yeah," and everybody clapped and cheered. You know, isn't that supposed to be the way it's supposed to be with people when they come into the family of God? Even though they might be a little out, maybe they've come through the system, maybe they've got problems, but here they are. We got a new brother, and we're keeping him. We got a new sister, and we're keeping her. I put down this. My kids did not get to choose me to be their dad. I didn't get to choose them either. That's okay. But I love them all the same. And you know what? I've got kids that aren't even genetically connected to me. Some of you were worried about that for a second when I started into that one. Because there are kids who are part of my family. I didn't intend for little Hannah to become my best friend in all the world, but just being nice to this kid at the games and picking on her, and you know what sealed the deal and made me her best friend? She likes Slim Jim beef sticks, and I got her 7 for Christmas, but I was hungry, so she got 6. And I gave her one, and I became her best friend, and she's like, she runs across the gym, "Hi, Vince," and I'm like, "Hi." And it's hilarious because we got family. And they're just, it's because we choose them. And God chose you, and he loves you, and you're part of his family. And by golly, you got to remember that, even when things are tough. You know, Kenny's parents chose him. They could have sent him back into the system. They could have test drove another kid until they find one that was perfect and that they liked. But my guess is, even if you were in the system, you wouldn't have been perfect enough. Sometimes we choose and we say, this one's mine. So remember who God is and remember who you are. And don't forget to lighten your load along the way. Matthew 11:28-30. Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I'm going to give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And here's the thing. You don't have to be a one-mule hitch pulling a plow that you can't plow with. Because Jesus is saying, take my yoke on you, and I'm going to help you. And it's not a single, it's a double. Because he's there to pull with you. He's there to pace you. He's there to help you. He's there to help pull with you through your life. And here's what's interesting. Sometimes we put it on and we kick Jesus out. And the other end of that yoke digs into the dirt and we keep doing circles on that hamster wheel, right? And we live in our groundhog day until we dig a rut so deep we can't get out. But there's a way to get out of that. We need to let Jesus help us with our burdens, our struggles, and what we face. Because we're going to have problems and troubles. He told us that. He said, in this world, you'll have troubles. And you'll look through the Bible. And there isn't a single soul recorded in Scripture that didn't have troubles. I mean, even Jesus got nailed to the cross, right? You're going to have problems. You're going to have struggles. But you can come to him and he will help you with them. And what's cool is this, is sometimes when we kick Jesus out of helping us pull in the yoke that he's put on us, and we've dug a rut so deep that the only thing that's sticking out is the under their end of the yoke that he's supposed to be in. It's cool. He can just step onto the end and raise us right up out of that yoke, out of that rut that we're in so easy, because it's a great lever on his end. And he'll help us. But we got to come to him, and we're going to do these quick things right here. All right? It's like when we're saved. We have to be willing to confess. Confess our sins, our failures, and our needs of him. 1 John 1:8-9, if we claim to be without sin, we've deceived ourselves, and truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Some of us are so trapped in the routine of sin that we don't want out. It's our identity. It's who we are. But he says, not only will I forgive you of it, I will help you out of it, and that doesn't have to be your identity, your rut, or your routine any longer. But it starts when we say, I need help. Jesus, I need your help. I've made a mess of things. It's like we need to be saved all over again, isn't it? But here's the thing. Not only do we need to confess it, we need to repent of those things. We need to repent, it says in Acts 3:19-20, repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, and that times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that he may send the Christ who has been appointed for you, even Jesus. You know, we can, you know what, no one's going to put a sign up in their front yard and said, I'm an adulterer and I live here, unless they're like trolling. But the reality is, nobody wants to do that, but most times we just live in our sin. We say, yep, I'm a sinner. Yep. Did it again. See, perfect, wasn't it? Did it again. I'm stuck in this rut. This is who I am. You're just going to have to love me the way I am, God, because I just can't do anything about this. Well, he says, step around the puddle. Step around the puddle next time. Go a different way. Turn back to him. You see, acknowledging that you got a problem is like acknowledging you have cancer, but you have to do something about it to get rid of it, and so that means you have to turn away from it. And when we turn away, we need to turn back to God. So we need to confess and we need to repent, and then we need to believe that God loves us because of who we are, which is his. Romans 10:9-11. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it's with your mouth that you confess and are saved. As Scripture says, anyone who puts his trust in him will not be put to shame. You know, too many people claim Jesus like they're a Packers fan until the Packers aren't in the Super Bowl. And now, because they can't stand the Chiefs, they're rooting for the 49ers. Nobody said amen. Okay, and now because they're 49ers fans, they're rooting for the Chiefs. None of you care. That's good. But here's the thing. When it comes to believing that God will do what he says, that he will forgive you and you can find that you can be made right and justified and that your life can change, you have to believe and trust that he's going to do it. And you have to help him accomplish that. Sorry about the static. I broke things. But then also, you have to be willing to receive it. You know, there's a lot of proud people in this room. Don't waste it on me, God. Maybe I don't deserve it. Go help somebody else. But we need to receive God's forgiveness, grace, and love, and mercy, and his salvation. John 1:12-13, yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. 1 John 3:1, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God, and that's what we are. That's what we are. And that's how we should act and live. And how we can live. And we can do his name proud. But the difficult thing is, it comes down to, we can say, man, I've blown it, I've failed, and we can turn away and we can try to turn back to him, and we can believe that God can do anything, but you know, we're struggling with that, and we can say, oh, I want to receive that thing, but here's the big problem. That is so hard to all accomplish until we're willing to let go completely of the reins. Ephesians 4:26-27, in your anger don't sin. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry. Don't give the devil a foothold. You know, the problems and the struggles and the sin and the constant grinding of the routine is something that becomes what we are and what we do, right? It's just my burden to bear. But we've got to be willing to let go of that. And you know what? Here's one of the hardest things that we have to let go of that messes up with all of these things, and that's being angry every single day. And you know, this is something I've been trying to do more of, because I go to bed very angry usually. There's always something to go to bed angry over, isn't there? So every night I say, Lord, I forgive my wife. Lord, I forgive my kids. Lord, help me forgive me too. You see, what happens is this. It says, do not let the sun go down while you're still angry, and don't give the devil a foothold. Because most of us do. We give him a great foothold, a great place to hook onto and keep us held back and drag us down. Because we're taking so much of that groundhog life with us that we can't go into the next day without taking garbage. But we need to let go. We need to leave it behind. I read this cool little story. There was this lady who bought this old house and she wanted to fix it up. And in fixing it up, got rid of the static. That was driving me nuts. In fixing this thing up, she got to the point where she needed to hire a plumber. And she got a plumber who was able to come, and he pulls up in his rickety old truck, and the rickety old truck comes up, and it kind of like when he shuts it off, it goes, right? And he comes in, and he starts to do his work, and he's working hard, and he's trying hard, and nothing's going right. And the end of the day comes, and he goes out to his truck, and he puts his tools away, and he gets in the truck, and it goes, Click, 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 click. And that's it. So this woman, feeling sorry for the plumber, says, come on, I'll give you a ride home. And they get in the car, and he's on the way home, and he's kind of quiet, and he just feels defeated, and like he's let this woman down, and nothing's going right, and his junk truck broke down, and all this stuff. And he walked, they get to his house, and they get out, and he goes, I'll introduce you to my family. And they walk up the sidewalk, and he stops at this little tree. And it's just this little itty-bitty, ugly little tree. But he takes and he looks at the tree, and he goes kind of like this over the top of that tree, and he kind of feels the branches and walks in. Big smile on his face. How you guys doing? His kids run up. They give him a hug and a kiss. Dad, we're so glad you're home. And he kisses his wife, and he introduces his new boss, and everything seems so great when he walked in the house. It was like he completely changed. It's kind of like the burgundy stripe made a difference in his life, that on this side it was all this, but on that side is where those things didn't matter. And they walked, he goes, I'll walk you to your car, and he walks the lady out, and she goes, what was that with the tree? He goes, that's my burden tree. See, every day when I come home, I hang all my burdens on that tree. Because I don't want to take them into my house and put them on my family. I don't want them to have to carry my burdens. So I leave them every night when I come home. And then the next morning when I get back up, I go by the tree and I pick them back up. And he goes, what's interesting is when I'm willing to set them aside and lay them down on the way in, there's not as many to pick up the next day. And my family doesn't suffer for it, and I sleep better at night. You know, I don't know, maybe y'all go get a plant. And if you kill plants on a regular basis, get a plastic one. It'll be all right. They look kind of real. We got you here? No, out in the hallway. They look kind of real. But maybe you need to really let go of things and let God deal with them so there's less for you to pick back up. And that's the last thing. We need to trust God always. Lamentations 3:22 and 23, because of the Lord's great love, we're not consumed, for his compassion never fails. Because of the Lord's great love, we're not consumed, for his compassions never fail, and they are new every morning, and great is your faithfulness. You know, when we give people that opportunity to live in the golden opportunity of a fresh, clean slate every day and not have to live under the umbrella of the previous day, week, month, year, or lifetime, it's pretty amazing. Because God intends it to be that way. So let's pray as the worship team comes. Father God, there's not a one of us who likes to live on the hamster wheel or groundhog wheel of life. But what's interesting is this, is we look at it as we're going back into the same rut that we were in yesterday and the day before and the day before. There is an alternative wheel. There's the path you put in front of us, and it's really not a wheel at all. It's a brand new clean day with nothing in the way. May we choose your path. May we set those burdens down. May we pick up love and joy and peace. And may we extend it to those around us. And we will find that even when the hard times come, you are right next to us every step of the way. And Lord, we love you. We love you. We love you. And it's in your name we pray.